Okay, let's get it. It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, Cox Sports Television, and right here with you every weekday for the Locked On LSU podcast. Ed Ogeron will hold his weekly press conference today, Tuesday. As we record this, it's Tuesday morning. His press conference will be 12:30. Tom Herman held his weekly press luncheon on Monday. So we'll start here listening to some of what the Texas coach had to say about the LSU matchup. Ross Dellinger, formerly of The Advocate, now of Sports Illustrated, had an extensive feature piece on the 2016 coaching search and how interwoven LSU's Ed Ogeron and Tom Herman are. We'll get to your Q&A here as well on the podcast. First, though, Tom Herman says LSU Texas big game, and he's not running from that.
Yeah, I don't want to downplay the significance of the matchup. I think it's really important. It's important for us. It's we kind of understand that to get to where we want to go as a program, that we're going to have to play in and win these kind of games, and to do it against another, you know, top 10 opponent is pretty cool, especially at home. But I also know that Bob Bowlesby's not going to be handing out the Big 12 championship trophy after this game either. And we're going to try our best to go 1-0 this week, but we also know that there's a bigger picture goal out there as well.
He's not wrong about that, but I would also submit that for Texas, if they are in fact looking big picture, as in, you know, playoff race, this game feels more significant for Texas because the opportunities in the Big 12 to win significant games down the line aren't as plentiful as in the SEC. They'll play Oklahoma and potentially even rematch Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game, like what happened a season ago. But if you lose this game, any loss after this one would, in effect, eliminate Texas from any playoff conversation. You could say the same about LSU, but I would submit that a close loss at Texas, and then let's hypothetically say, you know, a close loss to Alabama in Tuscaloosa. If everything fell LSU's way, though, and those were your only losses, there is a way as a two-loss team that you could sneak into a playoff conversation with wins over Auburn, Florida, Texas A&M. Those opportunities still remain for LSU. For Texas, I think that's a little more dicey. Either way, whichever team wins this game sets themselves up very nicely, potentially, for whatever the postseason may hold. We did learn some news out of Austin on Monday, and that's that they've lost another running back. Five-star freshman Jordan Whittington is going to miss at least a month with a sports hernia. He's going to go up to the D.C. area and have surgery for that sports hernia. That leaves Texas paper thin at running back. Whittington, a five-star recruit, out. Senior Kirk Johnson with a shoulder injury, out. Junior Daniel Young with an ankle injury, out. Walk-on running back Jared Smith also has been sidelined with an undisclosed injury. That leaves sophomore Keontae Ingram as the only healthy scholarship running back, and he even dealt with a knee bruise and missed 2 weeks during fall camp. Essentially, after Keontae Ingram, you have no scholarship running backs, and what Texas has been forced to do is move true freshman quarterback Roshan Johnson to running back. Also, David Benda has moved to running back as well. He was a linebacker who's now been moved to running back. So if you're following along, one scholarship running back, Keontae Ingram, who also missed 2 weeks of camp because of a knee bruise, and two true freshmen, one that signed as a quarterback, one that signed as a linebacker, have been moved to running back for this week because they're so thin at the running back spot. Now, Sam Ellinger obviously is a big part of what Texas does offensively in the run game at 6'3", 230. He's a guy who is unafraid to tuck and run. He rushed for almost 500 yards a season ago. If sack yardage didn't count against rushing stats, which in my opinion is one of the stupidest things statistically in football, then he would have been well over that number. But Sam Ellinger is a dangerous runner as well in keeping a defense honest. But Tom Herman talked about his team being so thin at running back.
I mean, you think about this. I actually wrote it down today, and this is mind-boggling. So our running back room was supposed to look like this. You had Ingram, Whittington, Johnson, Young, Brown, okay, and then Jarrett Smith, who we all thought was a really good walk-on running back that could help us. Five of them gone for multiple weeks, four of them being scholarship running backs. So, no, I don't. I've never heard of it happening, let alone it happening to me. But, you know, kudos to the Roschon Johnsons and Mason Ramirez's and David Bendis of the world for, you know, saying, Coach, whatever this team needs, I'll do. And they've done it well.
And one more from Herman. He was asked if being thin at running back changes the game plan against LSU.
It doesn't. You know, now, if both those guys get hurt, then the game plan will change significantly. But I don't think you ever try to game. I mean, they're really good against the run, too. So let's not, you know, think that they're not. You know, so it will not change. The game plan, we're confident in Keontae, we're confident in Roschon, and now if something were to go awry in the middle of the game, then we'd kind of have to change courses midstream.
One of the things that I've lauded all off season here and on the radio is I think LSU's defensive front seven has the potential to be the best we've seen probably since 2011 or 2012 at LSU. They're deep, they're veteran. And it showed in some respects against Georgia Southern, albeit a different caliber opponent. But Georgia Southern, that triple option offense, only 74 yards rushing on 39 attempts. You know, to hold a triple option offense to 74 yards rushing, not allowing them to break that big one, was mighty impressive. And yes, it's a different test on the road with a quarterback who is dynamic, throwing and running. That's something you didn't have to really worry about with Georgia Southern, which only attempted 11 passes. That will be very different on Saturday in Austin. But this would seem to be major advantage LSU with the defensive front seven playing the way they are and then Texas as thin as they are at running back. Unless if they're able to get a monster game from Keontae Ingram, that's a hefty, hefty advantage for LSU. Okay, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day. When we come back, we will explore the relationship between Ed Ogeron and Tom Herman and Tom Herman's flirtation with LSU in 2016. A new feature piece at SI.com by Ross Dellinger explored that. We'll delve into some of the particulars next. Locked On LSU, your team every day. We continue Locked On LSU, your team every day. Just a second, we'll explore the relationship between Tom Herman, Ed Ogeron, Tom Herman's flirtation with LSU, and also Herman's relationship with Dave Aranda as those two were together back in California some 15, 20 years ago. Got to remind you, the NFL season begins next week, which means Crossover Wednesday will be back for the entire regular NFL season. You get a special episode every Wednesday as the hosts from opposing sides meet up to preview the excitement of the games happening that week. Find your favorite team wherever you get your podcast. Be sure not to miss the NFL listeners' favorite segment. It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. Glad to have you aboard with us here. So this was an inevitable week back in 2016, some 33 months ago, when LSU hired Ed Ogeron after a flirtation with Tom Herman, only to be spurned at the last moment as Herman would ultimately head to Texas and LSU would hire Ed Ogeron. Parts of that story have been told over the last nearly 3 years, but for the first time in great detail with many of the particulars speaking on the record, it's been told courtesy of Ross Dellinger at Sports Illustrated. Of course, Ross is a former LSU beat writer who's now at SI and really does a fantastic job. But Ross got Joe Oliva to speak on the record. He got Ed Ogeron to speak about this on the record. A member of the LSU Board of Supervisors who was part of that search spoke on the record as well. And members of the Texas administration spoke on the record. He did not speak on the record to Tom Herman or Trace Armstrong, Herman's agent. But one thing is abundantly clear. LSU had done its due diligence. They had vetted Tom Herman. He was absolutely their number one choice, such that on the Saturday after the LSU-Texas A&M game. And, of course, that was a Thursday. And then on Friday, Memphis and Houston played in Memphis. The next day, Saturday, there was supposed to be a meeting in Houston between Joe Oliva, members of the LSU Athletic Administration, and Tom Herman. And it's believed, according to Ross, that LSU was going to offer Tom Herman the job at that point. And there were some conflicting beliefs that maybe a verbal agreement had already existed. But ultimately, the Texas job came open. Some heavy hitter Texas boosters decided they were going to go make the play for Tom Herman. And LSU didn't want to get into a bidding war, so they excused or recused themselves from the Tom Herman negotiations and hired Ed Ogeron. For better or worse, good or bad, both programs now sitting in the top 10 almost 3 years later. So it seems to have at this point worked out for both, but ultimately time will tell and judge. Tom Herman was asked about his relationship with Ed Ogeron on Monday. Here's what he said.
Not really. I mean, we're cordial. I mean, I don't know that, you know, we've talked on the phone or gone out to dinner. I know that, but when we see each other, you know, it's, hey, how you doing? Catching up, all that stuff.
It is fascinating, though, that these two worlds will intersect on Saturday in Austin, then again next year in Baton Rouge. It was somewhat wild to see, if you saw the Sports Illustrated piece, the featured image, they photoshopped Tom Herman into LSU gear. So a purple windbreaker and an LSU hat. And you can't help but think, you know, what if? It's just, it's so infrequent that you hire a head football coach. You know, LSU had not gone through that process in 13 years. And so understandably, it's going to draw a lot of attention. Now, the other part of that as well, and one of the reasons it was believed Tom Herman would be very interested, is the fact that he is friendly with Dave Aranda, and they know each other from their days back at... And Herman was asked on Monday about his relationship with LSU's defensive coordinator.
Yeah, great relationship with Dave. Enjoyable guy to be around. Very cerebral. You know, he came in, I think I actually hosted him on his... visit to Cal Lutheran, and came in as a player. Medically, he'd had 5 or 6 shoulder surgeries, so he was done pretty early. So he transitioned into student coach. But we've stayed in touch throughout the years. I remember when I was named special teams coordinator at Sam Houston State, he was at Texas Tech, and I actually drove from Huntsville all the way to Lubbock to spend a couple days trying to learn some special teams, you know, drills and whatnot. And, you know, he was nice enough to have me stay at his apartment, all that stuff.
And Herman also said Aranda has a lot to do with Tom Herman hiring his defensive coordinator, Todd Orlando.
We bounce ideas off each other quite regularly. Haven't in the last couple years because we knew we were going to be playing each other. But, you know, prior to us finding that part out, we've stayed in pretty close contact in terms of, you know, the football part of it. And you know, interestingly enough, Dave has a lot to do with me hiring Todd Orlando 5 years ago. If you trace the lineage, Todd was at Utah State when we hired him at Houston. And when Todd went to Utah State, he was going to replace Dave Aranda when Dave went to Wisconsin. And so a lot of what Todd did then, obviously we've evolved, Todd has evolved, but what Todd did then was a lot of what was a carryover from what Dave was doing at Utah State.
This matchup just dripping with storylines. If you've not yet read the feature at SI.com, I would highly recommend you go read it. It's just a couple of things that stand out, obviously, are just how close that LSU and Tom Herman were to a deal. But also, one thing that's undeniable is Ed Ogeron's commitment to LSU, love, desire to get the job, how much it means to him. And for him to go on the record about that 3 years later, I think speaks to that and some of his comments about the search and going back to that time, most notably where on Wednesday it appeared that Jimbo Fisher was going to get the job, although we learned this, Jimbo was never a serious candidate. Then on Thursday it was Tom Herman, and Ed Ogeron made a comment to one of his friends at that point, you know, Wednesday it was Jimbo, Thursday it's Herman, tomorrow's our day. And lo and behold, it would be LSU and Ed Ogeron's day back in November of 2016, and now the two will collide in Austin on Saturday night. College game day will be there. It'll be LSU and Texas, a top 10 matchup, primetime ABC. And there are many, many storylines both on and off the field to discuss. We'll knock out our final break here, come back and wrap up with your Q&A. Locked on LSU, your team, every day. Wrapping up another edition of the Locked on LSU podcast, your team every day. We'll finish here with a little Facebook Live Q&A. If you're not familiar, my Facebook page, at Matt Moscona, AFR. Like the page, set notifications. When we go live, you can jump aboard with us, get your question answered real time. Let's start here with Brian Robert. Does Ellinger's arm scare you? Or if we wrangle in his running game and make him one-dimensional, can he beat us with just his arm? So, Brian, I'm probably the guy in town this week who covers LSU that is going to give the most respect to Texas's offense and to Sam Ellinger. It is odd that over this offseason, Terry Bradshaw took a shot at Sam Ellinger. Baker Mayfield took a shot at Sam Ellinger. Caleb Chasson took a shot at Sam Ellinger. I've watched that guy play a lot of football, and he's dynamic and he's a winner. And as a freshman, he struggled with turnovers like some freshman quarterbacks would. But last year, he became much more disciplined with the football. He threw for nearly 3,400 yards and 27 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions. He is a large part of why Texas had the season they did, getting back to the Big 12 championship game, and they beat Georgia in a Sugar Bowl. Sam Ellinger can run the ball, 6'3", 230, but he can throw it as well. He threw, again, for over 3,000 yards and 27 touchdowns a year ago. He is especially functioning within that offense, a dynamic player who can beat you with his feet or with his arm. You know, he's not Lamar Jackson. He rushed for, you know, just under 500 yards a year ago, capable of more, but more so it's his ability on a short yardage situation to tuck his head and go north and south and win a numbers game, and when it's third and three, get you 4 yards. He's frustrating in that respect. But yes, he's capable. Sam Ellinger is very capable, and LSU secondary will get a very big test on Saturday. Shelby Kelly says Herman's breaking out the mental warfare with the DBU shirts. Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. So I might also be an outlier in this respect, that I just really don't care about that. If you haven't seen it, when Texas was warming up for the game against Louisiana Tech on Saturday, they had shirts that on the back read, "There's only one DBU." Look, Texas has had some really good defensive backs. Chris Boyd got drafted a year ago, just when you're looking at, you know, into the NFL. You had Quandre Diggs, who got drafted in 2015. Listen, it's sparse. I mean, you could go back to Cheeky Brown or, you know, Curtis Brown in the 2011 range. You know, Earl Thomas, obviously, out of Texas. Kenny Vaccaro, out of Texas. Mikael Thompson, out of Texas. Deshaun Elliott, a safety. You can go back to Michael Huff and, guys like Roy Williams. There's Michael Griffin, Aaron Ross. There have been guys. There have been good defensive backs out of Texas. But realistically, just if you're looking at sheer numbers, it's kind of an Ohio State, LSU, Florida battle. Since 2000, Ohio State's had the most defensive backs drafted. Clearly, in the last 10 years, LSU has produced the most high-profile defensive backs and really sort of wrestled that moniker, that DBU moniker. But listen, you'd have to talk to guys on the team. That feels like fan fodder, like Twitter fodder. Does that really bother guys on the team? Maybe. But, man, I just don't care. There's no way that's a universally accepted way to define DBU. So if you want to own the moniker and claim it, then by all means do. But at the same time, I don't care. Just go play and be better and win the game and move on to the next one. Let me get one more in here from Brandon. He said, Matt, do you think LSU will continue to use 5 running backs and rotate them every possession, or someone will be left out eventually? So I've been consistent on this. I think by the end of the year, you will look at LSU's running back statistics, and it will look very similar to 2011 when you had Spencer Ware, Michael Ford, Kenny Hilliard, Jordan Jefferson contributed from the quarterback spot, Terrence McGee as well. I think it looks very similar. Ultimately, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire and very likely Ty Davis-Price and John Emery are your three primary running backs. Leonard Fournette clearly is going to have a role, but they seem to like to throw him the ball out of the backfield. So I think situationally, maybe third down, late in game scenarios is where Leonard Fournette factors in. If there's one guy who looks like he's been left out or left behind, it's Chris Curry. So, and I still think that he'll have a role, albeit a very minimal one, barring injury. But I think you're going to primarily see the three I mentioned, Clyde and the two freshmen, Ty Davis-Price, John Emery, with a Leonard Fournette factoring in sort of in more of a hybrid role. But yes, I think they're all going to play. I don't think you'll have a game this year where one back goes over 20 attempts in a game. Now maybe that's foolish. Perhaps there's a game where maybe Clyde or Emery or Davis Price gets the hot hand and they ride him in a game where it's just what they have to do to win and that's what's effective. But I'm not sure we're going to see a game this year where one back has over 20 attempts in a game. None had more than 9 this past weekend. So maybe Clyde could get there if the circumstance was right. It just feels like you're going to see a rotation that keeps fresh legs, which I really like as well. Okay, that's going to do it for us here on a Tuesday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. Tomorrow, Ed Ogeron will have met with the media, so we will let you hear what Coach O had to say in preparation for LSU's game at Texas. Until then, it's Locked On LSU, your team every day.